You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website RickAckerman.com. He's speaking to us from South Florida. Welcome back to the show, Rick.
Thank you, Jim, for inviting me on. It is always a pleasure.
The stock markets had a rough December. They seem to recover, but now they're not doing much. What's your opinion on the stock markets?
I think we've topped. You really don't have to look too far. Just a couple. Bitcoin has really been the speculative leader of all this mania, and Bitcoin hit a pretty important target of mine. It slightly exceeded it with the move just above 108,000. But the chart looks like it's forming a head and shoulders. It hasn't gotten above that target. And if the speculative locus of this market is sputtering out, then you better believe that the bull market for the stock market as a whole is over. I get some confirmation of that with a move to a 61.35, actually slightly higher high in the S&P 500. So that's hit a target that has been 5 years in coming, and I think we're in a topping process there as well.
What about the cryptos? Bitcoin below $100,000, is it on the way down or is it peaked out?
Well, I put out something in my current commentary. I expect Bitcoin to fall to under $100. So yeah, it's got a little ways to fall there. But it is fundamentally worth nothing. And even transactionally, it's worth almost nothing. So I think it'll eventually find its true value below $100, if not significantly lower than that. So yeah, I think it's going to fall. There was never anything of value backing Bitcoin other than this idea of rarity coming from the original Satoshi mintage of 21 million tokens. And I think it's funny that when people talk about Bitcoin, or you know, when the stories are blathering about how wonderful it is, that they usually illustrate it with a gold token coin as though Bitcoin were a coin. But we find that it's not even a coin. And you know, for all the talk about the Bitcoin being a safe means of storing, certainly not value, but affecting a transaction because the code, the blockchain is too hard to crack. Well, it turns out you don't have to crack any blockchains to steal billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. You just have to have one fool who's willing to, who can be tricked into giving up a password or this or that. So plenty of Bitcoin is getting stolen in big chunks. It's not like the old, you know, Willie Sutton, when he walked into a bank, if he was familiar with the statistics, he knew that he wasn't going to come out of that bank with it. He was going to average $8,000 for each bank heist. But these Bitcoin heists are enormous. So we've made some progress there in the criminal world that the internet facilitates so well.
Well, also now quantum computers are coming online. They can crack your crypto.
Yeah, I would guess. I mean, not that I know what I'm talking about, but it seems like you combine AI with a quantum computer, it can pretty much do anything except, you know, bake a winning pie. Well, maybe it can do that too.
And, of course, the CIA and other spooky organizations have computers that they have in vans that can read your bank codes and so on. So why not your crypto codes as well? Organized crime's got more money than the government. They have real money.
And I always, you know, I always think when you talk about the Snoops, I always think of that movie. I think it was called Other People's Lives, and it was about the East German Stasi monitoring the conversations of East Germans trapped behind a wall, and it got so boring, you know, you felt sorry for these Snoops, and And anybody who wants to monitor my life, boy, they're going to be mighty bored. And I think that's the case with most of the monitoring they do.
Any thought on Trump talk of taking over Canada, Denmark, Panama, using force if necessary, what that might do to the markets?
Well, the force is necessary is just something that our lunatic left likes to promote. That's really not on our Trump's agenda, I'm sure, to go to war just to take over Panama. I haven't read a lot about it because the whole story is so silly. I think Greenland would be just a business deal with Denmark. And Trump is certainly a businessman, and there's nothing dangerous in it. I read some other comment that Trump has the Panama Canal figured all wrong. You know, the way it's being represented in terms of all the things Trump supposedly does wrong is that the Chinese are really running the show down there, and that they're collecting American shippers, American flag tankers are paying too much to get through the canal. But it turns out they're only paying something like, $20 per ton or something like that. And if you extend the argument about Trump and all, what's he looking for, to pay $16? And that's under the assumption that the Chinese are in charge. Apparently they aren't. So I don't know. It's like, who do you believe? But I'm not worried we're going to start war over Panama.
What's going on with gold?
It's in a nice rally, but I think it's limited to maybe, I think my target's 2,328. I don't think it's on its way to new all-time high. I'm sorry, 2,728's a target, and that's only about $40 above where it's trading now. The all-time high, this would be basis Feb Comex, all-time high was at, let's call it 28.26. So yeah, 27.28 is where I think this thing stops. If I'm wrong and it just pops through, we're going to see not quite 3,000, but I think 29.66 for this phase.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, high interest rates remain in the U.S. How's that affecting mortgages and also the auto market?
Well, it's affecting mortgages to the extent that nobody can get into the market as a first-time buyer. People who are sitting on more houses than they need, a lot of retirees, they can't sell them because there are no buyers and because, it's just too expensive to move into a smaller place. So all these big baby boomer McMansions are going to sit, the owners are going to hang tough until they die, and the kids will inherit them, and they won't be able to afford them. They won't be able to pay even the taxes on them. And so that's going to sink the heartland, sink suburban America. That's all coming. But high interest rates, of course, raise the price of everything. And the place where that's immediately going to come to bear on triggering the second Great Depression will be in the commercial real estate sector. We haven't heard much discussion of that because the lazy hacks that invent the news would rather cover weather stories and things because those stories write themselves. So we haven't heard much discussion of the commercial real estate problem, but it's in a state of suspended animation right now, on its way to a full blown collapse. And it's already happening, but the acceleration of that trend cannot but happen simply because of servicing the loans that are that bought those buildings or built them, and maintaining the buildings themselves is too expensive now. So it's not just a problem in New York; it's a problem everywhere. And I don't see how the economy is going to survive a dip into depression once we start talking about commercial real estate again and the problem of interest rates going even higher than they were when they initially triggered the problems in that market.
The Pacific Palisades fire in Los Angeles, 12,000 structures burned. Of course, thousands had to evacuate. Celebrities lost their homes. I guess that really gets the attention of people around the world. Some people are saying they couldn't fight back as hard as they might have because of government cutbacks. Your thoughts?
I don't know that that's much of a factor. You know, I see that what's-her-face, the mayor of L.A. cut out $17 million or something from the fire department's budget, and I'm sure that didn't help, but she has a point, really, when she says it hasn't rained in 9 months or whatever, and the winds are kicking up at 100, you know, near hurricane forces, so there was no avoiding it. And it is certainly a tragedy, you know, when you think of your place going up and all you get out with is your cat and everything else, your photos, your mementos, everything you ever owned and collected and loved is gone. So, fortunately, there haven't been that many deaths involved. Been a lot of evacuations, but a lot of people have really lost their lives, and it's terrible. From a purely economic standpoint, it's putting in motion it's accelerating something that's already happened in such a big way that it's going to change the United States demographically in ways that are, again, we don't want to talk about it, but it's got to happen, and that is the insurance problem. A lot of these homes that burned down, the people couldn't even get insurance other than through the same sort of pool that operates down in Florida. But I used to think that when the sea rose to a level that Florida finally got inundated, then all those $80 to $120 million homes right down the street here in Delray, right on the beach, they would become worthless. But it turns out we don't need the flooding. We just need the insurance companies to anticipate it. And in L.A., you know, California has just somewhat unleashed the insurance market by saying the insurers could raise their prices not only very significantly, but they could do it on a basis of what they foresee, not the track record of what they paid out in the past. So this is really just a stopgap on our way to a situation where none of us can get insurance for anything. And that even includes cars. It's like, who can fix a Tesla when it collides? They don't bother doing it. They total the cars if there's even a little bit of damage to the battery pack because we don't even have a labor force that's trained to work on it. So if you can't insure your home, we've got coastal homes, and we got quite a few of those in this country, as you know, and you can't insure your car, you can't insure much of anything, it's going to increase the financial disaster that comes from these insurable up till now events. So it's hard to you can see a disaster shaping up there, although its shape and form and the kind of the timetable are much more difficult to predict. But we're there. I mean, the migration into Florida has somewhat. May even have reversed by now because it's just too damned expensive to insure a coastal property. I don't even live. I live a couple miles from the ocean, but I can't get household insurance any longer. And this is really funny. My insurer raised my price, the price of, that I pay my premiums, even though they canceled a piece of it. They canceled the household, and the price went up. And I said, "Well, how can that be? I'm getting." You stripped away one piece of my insurance and you're raising the price. And the catch 22 answer is, well, we were giving you a package discount before. So, but we're all headed into a maelstrom there. It's, it's nothing's insurable. And of course, we're talking about some very high-end properties there in California. Anything even with a concrete slab under it is I use worth, the word worth in quotes, but it's worth $1.5 million. And so I don't know. All we need is an earthquake in San Francisco to show you why that city's uninsurable too. And there, of course, everything on a concrete slab is probably $2 million or more.
Well, Donald Trump is talking tough against Canada. Canada has sent firefighting aircraft to L.A. to help out. So we'll help out our neighbors, even if the president-elect isn't friendly.
Well, that's nice of you guys. And he's just trying to reach out a friendly hand to you Canadians. I think we've seen you suffer through Trudeau for long enough to say, enough. Come on, guys, get sane. And that's, I think that's all that Trump is trying to say.
Well, he's on the way out. He says he's going to resign.
Well, I thought he already did resign.
Well, he's still the prime minister. He's still the leader of the Liberal Party until they elect a new leader.
Well, but he lame-ducked himself with the sincerity of his resignation.
Yeah, and it was telling. The wind blew away his resignation speech, so he had to wing it, kind of like the way he's run the country.
Well, you'd think a guy like that would be absolutely unemployable, but he'll find a job somewhere, you know, maybe
he's a trust fund baby. He was worth millions the day he was born.
Yeah, but, you know, you like to keep your hand in it, really. I mean, he's got a wife, too, and she's just going to
get
out of the house.
He doesn't have a wife. They're split.
Well, he'll sign up with some dating service, but maybe he can go to work for, like, Bernie Sanders' staff office or something.
Well, he has been a bouncer in the past and a drama teacher and a snowboard instructor, positions that I guess you can always fill.
And you would think from that kind of checkered background that he would be an interesting guy, but he's not. He's just like a garden variety cockroach Marxist, or crypto Marxist, maybe.
Now, what's going on with the car market? Are electric cars fading out? Because in Asia, of course, China's mandated them, and Chinese electric vehicles are affordable, but they're not in the U.S. because of a 100% tariff, which Canada, by the way, went along with as well.
Well, I still view Tesla as that'll be the best short play in the universe of stocks. It's so overvalued. I love Musk. I just love the guy. But we're really finding things out about electric vehicles, the first of which is people don't really want to buy them. I mean, there are a lot of them out there, but not compared to the hopes and expectations of the manufacturers. So we're discovering that the resale value is terrible. My friend Arthur bought a $135,000 Plaid, and I don't think he could get $40,000 for it now. It's in perfect condition. And you look, the interior is kind of showroom, and it's just got some wear on the battery pack. But we're discovering nobody really wants to buy a Tesla when it's got to have its battery replaced. And so it's taken such a huge whack out of the resale value. And of course, it didn't help when Hertz decided it was going to sell off its entire EV fleet. At that point, you could have bought any Tesla in America for $25,000. So there's that problem. And they turn out to not even be as well built as was thought, assumed, tested by Consumer Reports in that first blockbuster that gave Tesla a 96 rating or some such. But so the demand is not there, and Tesla's pumped to the sky. We've got a $1.3 trillion valuation on this car company, and even a 200% tariff is not going to protect them enough to get them a price for the car that makes money for Tesla automobiles. So we got EV problems up ahead, but I'm not even sure that's in the top five of the list of problems that we got.
Do you think President Trump will be able to wrestle inflation to the ground and make groceries affordable? Because during his 72-minute news conference, he didn't mention anything that would help bring down inflation.
Oh, he's wrestling all right, but not intentionally. Everything Trump does is like an inflator I mean, outwardly, you know, in terms of fiscal policy, all the guy wants to do is spend, borrow, spend, borrow, spend, borrow, spend. But I'd say we're entered into such a deflationary headwind that we shouldn't even be talking about inflation anymore. You know, that's yesterday's problem, because it just, if Musk and Ramaswamy succeed in cutting anything out of the budget, that's deflationary. Higher interest rates are deflationary. And, you know, it's deflation is not going to be the problem looking out ahead. And also the forces of not just inflation and deflation, but the economic cycles, the broad cycles, they're hugely bigger than whoever's in the White House, you know, and the president has not much impact really on the economy. And the way it happens is that if you're a lucky president like Bill Clinton, you get into office at a time when the economy is on an upswing. And if you're an unlucky president like the first Bush, then you enter office with the economy in a downturn. So you know, when we talk about, do we think Trump will help the economy? That's a lot of crap. You know, the economy is hugely larger than anything the president can do. And the broad cycles are inured to policy solutions, certainly not inured to Fed stimulus. And that's really, that's just a one-way ticket. All the Fed does is monetize. That's what they were chartered to do. And we have that component that is forever inflating the stock market for one and real estate prices for two.
Rick, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, just those few telltales, you know, like Bitcoin, which again, I think has made a top. It is the speculative heart and soul of this bull market, and also the S&Ps. And I'm watching Microsoft too, because it is the biggest company out there. And it seems to be swimming against the current right now. It's up a little bit today with all the other lunatic stocks down somewhat. So you really don't have to ask complicated Bloomberg pundit type questions to figure it all out. It's just watch a few things: Bitcoin, the S&Ps, and Microsoft, and you'll have your answer. But and looking out ahead, interest rates are going higher to 5.5% on the long term, and whatever has not been crushed from the economy, whatever life remains, that the turn of the screw up to 5.5% is going to, it'll cause the asphyxiation of all else.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Always a pleasure, Jim. I just love to unload when we talk.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks, his website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.